My main interest is when you're fishing out here, some of your early memories of growing up out here, because you were born here, right, on Alf Island?
No, I was born in Yuzinki.
You were born in Yuzinki?
That's where my mother was from, Yuzinki.
Uh-huh.
My father is from Finland. So, and I was brought up on a fox farm up Uyakte on Alf's Island.
This one here.
And we had foxes and we had chickens and pigs and cows and what have you. Then I was about 8 years old when I first started taking care of fish, because my dad was drying fish for the fox farms. And we used to go out there and get all that fish and cut them up and dry them, and then he'd sell them to the fox farmers. And then from then, 1928 is when we start commercial fishing. And in them days, they were half a cent for the humpies and 6 cents for the sockeyes or the red salmon. And from then on, I learned how to mend nets and taking care of nets. So, and watch the prices of the fish, you know, going up and down, up and down. Fish for salmon, red salmon, up to 12 cents. That's a salmon, not a pound. So, in the humpies, they were only 5 cents then, or 2.5 cents, whatever.
When were you born?
1916.
And in 1920, so nobody fished salmon commercially before 1928, or?
No, that's when my dad started fishing. Mm. There was some people gillnetting, not very many. They had traps in them days. So there wasn't very many. Then what we started out really doing first was beach seining before we start gillnetting. And in them days we had to pew the fish. A pew is a stick with a point on the end of it. We had to throw them about 5-6 feet up to the scow.
I mean, when you were unloading them?
Unloading them, throwing them up there. You take and throw a great big dog salmon up there, boy. They are heavy. So that's where I learned how to take care of seine fish.
Who did you sell them to? This cannery here?
Yeah, uh-huh. Alaska Packers. Yeah, it was Alaska Packers then.
Mm-hmm. And were you rowing or what?
Yes,
kind of,
rowing. We had no kickers, no kind of motorized heavy. It was all by oars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures of sailboats. Did you use wind? Did you use sail?
No, we had motor, and a boat with a motor in it. Not no outboards, but a regular inboard motor.
Even when you first started?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just rowing?
No, we rowed in skiffs, but the boat. Oh. He had a boat with, the boat was about, 32 feet long or something. And had an inboard motor in it.
And did you use that for fishing, or that was just trash?
Towing the skiffs around. Mm. We used skiffs to row out the Seine. Yeah.
And I remember Pete Peterson telling me about the web itself was like it was linen?
Linen, yeah. The gillnets are all linen. And the floats are all sewed onto the tops, you know, instead of clusters now.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you had to be out there picking all the kelp out. 24 hours a day, you're out there picking kelp.
Because the net's right on top of the water.
Yeah.
Down.
And then we used to row the, Dad had what you call a contract for keeping lights on the traps. So we'd have to row all the way from the island out to Greenbank. And that's a long ways. And it used to take us about anywhere from 10 to 12 hours. From the time we left the island till the time we were back. We'd start out about 4 o'clock in the morning to go and put kerosene in the lamps.
Every day?
No. Twice a month, as I remember. They had them great big lamps on them,
mm-hmm.
lanterns, and filled them up. That lasts a long time.
Mm-hmm. Who owned those traps then?
The Alaska Packers. And I don't remember what the other company, Down Old Yuyak. There were two outfits that had traps. But Alaska Packers was the biggest one. That's what Papa was taking care of. Mm-hmm. And they had 6-7 traps along the line, Green Bank and Chief Point.
So the people did that, and then, but so it was after that that you guys started beach seining and then gill netting, or was
no,
that
No, that was the time of the traps, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't very many people that were, you know, salmon fishing, just mostly traps.
And then did you have to get it into the counter yourself, or did they
say? They had a tender. That's what I say, the big scows. But then a monkey boat, they called them, boats that towed the scow. And then they would throw that fish up to that scow.
Mm-hmm. And you just poke a hole in it and...
Yeah, it was a pew, they called the pew. Uh-huh. Pitch them fish up. Well, no wonder I got muscles.
So mm-hmm. You were what, like 10, 11? How old were you?
I was, what I would say, well, I started it when I was about 10, 12 years old, throwing fish up. Mm-hmm.
And did you beach seine all around Yuyak, or did you just have a couple beaches that you...
No, all over. See, we had a boat that towed us skipping states and stuff, mm-hmm. from one place to another. And I've seen it when there was no fish. And Papa used to leave us on some beach. There were no bears in them days to speak of. And there sometimes would stay overnight in a little tent. Well, they went to Spiriton Bay or wherever, Zachar Bay, looking for fish.
Who, your mom and dad?
Just mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you?
Oh, we were anywhere from the time we were 8, 9 years old. I was the oldest.
So you were sort of in charge?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good old days.
So, well, that beach seining is hard work.
Well, no, not really. Mm-hmm. See, you're just pulling the seine to the beach and mm-hmm. get your fish.
When did you start gill netting?
1928.
That's when the gill netting, when before that it was beach seining.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you fish the first time?
Same place, Beardsley's place over there.
On Beardsley's, or the sets you're on now?
No, Beardsley's.
That's where you...
1928, that's where it started.
Uh-huh.
And there was a trap right where our set is, on a point. There was a fish trap there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's 1928 when you started?
1928, when we first started
getting money. How many, was, who else was in the bay fishing then?
Pete Gunnarsson, number one. And Harry Carlson.
Where were they fishing?
Pete Gunnarsson's right next where Pete Peterson's is.
Uh-huh.
That was Pete Gunnarsson's. Then Harry Carlson down where Hoy's are. Who's that?
Oh, Zachary's in the bathroom?
He's in the bathroom, but there's something made noise over.
Everything okay, Dad?
Unless somebody threw something up against the outside, it's okay. Then what? And see Pete Gunnarsson. Then the Novikovs.
Were Fields here yet? When did Fields move out here?
Oh, they moved out in the 40s, pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they moved out. Oh, there was Jack Wick, also gillnet down in Bear Island. And of course, that's where he drowned.
Mm-hmm. Was it mostly family operations, like all the kids in there? No?
Oh, mostly all. Harry Carlson. And Gunnarsons were the two that had families, than us. Mm-hmm. That's the only ones that I can remember that had families. All the rest of them were bachelors or brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was the season like? Like, did it just go...
1st of June uh-huh. till the 14th of August. From Monday morning, 6 o'clock, till Saturday evening, 6 o'clock.
It was just every day was the same? I mean, it was just
same thing.
And then on Sunday, you just...
Saturday and Sunday was off.
Who established that? Did Fish and Game establish that? Or was there a Department of Fish and Game then? Or how? I don't know.
That was just... That's how the law was set, I guess. Mm-hmm. It must be to Fish and Game.
Because there was no...
There was no Fish and Game.
Right,
because
there was
remember.
No... I mean, there's no state.
No,
you know,
there
state
was
laws.
No laws that I can, you know, think of.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe it was just what the company decided then.
No, it was some sort of a law because they had fish markers. You couldn't go beyond them. So... But that's how it was as far back as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Did someone get the key already?
No, Adrian's got it.
Because Mom wants me to check her name too.
Get the key from Adrian. So, that's like I say, 1st of June, if June fell on Monday, you know, 1st of June. Mm-hmm. But if it fell on a weekend, then you'd have to wait. Maybe to the third or the whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's how it went. And there used to be a closure, if there was no fish, they'd close it for a couple of weeks. That, you know, I can remember. Along about in July, about the middle of July when it slacked off. Till the pink start coming, then they'd reopen again.
Mm-hmm. We had that late June fish, or late... Fall fishing now. Did anybody fish late? Or
sometimes they fished right into October if there was fish. Mm-hmm. But it's that is fall run of reds. So, all the way from June to October, as long as the company stayed. Then in them days they came in March to make cans and whatnot. They weren't brought, they brought their Chinamen, the ships would come in, bring all them people. And they were here for the summer until September or October or whatever, whenever the season closed.
What ships were they? They came up from San Francisco, mm-hmm. someone said?
Yeah.
Was that exciting when they came in?
I guess we were used to it. Never bothered us. Because uh-huh. It was year in, year out, the same thing. They were big boats, so I can't even remember half their names. Yeah, it used to be a lot of people, with 400 or 500 people come in at once.
And they're mostly Chinese workers?
Chinese and Filipinos. Yeah. Mostly Chinamen. Yeah, they made cans. I was 12 years old when I first started making cans up in China. They call that can loft up there. Yeah, they made their own cans, cut the tin, solder them.
Huh. We had a lot of work to do then. No wonder they got started in March.
Yeah, they started in the last part of March. All month of April they were making cans. That was neat to watch them.
Uh-huh. So they just shipped all that stuff up in San Francisco every year, right? All their groceries and stuff too?
Everything.
Then who tended the traps? Okay, the people were at the cannery.
The canneries, they had them big scows and tenders who all towed a scow out. Uh-huh. Then they'd rail them.
And were those the Chinese workers too also?
No. Those are different. They were all Norwegians and Swedes for the traps.
But they still came up on the boats from San Francisco mm-hmm. when you came up? Did you catch a lot of fish in those days?
Yeah.
A lot more than now?
Oh yes, much more than now. Yeah, it's nothing now in comparison to what they used to be in them days.
There's nothing now compared to what they were.
Especially reds.
There were more reds, yeah. Is it just because there's so many more people fishing?
I can't really say. I think there's too many aeroplanes and kickers in where the fish is coming in, up the lake and on the lagoon in Carlo.
Too much noise, yeah.
Too much noise. Too much disturbance. In them days, there were no kickers. The people, when they went hunting in them lakes and where not, they used oars. There was no motors, you know, to be running around disturbing the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, there's aeroplanes and kickers in the lakes and in the rivers and all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
This is very exciting.
Oh yeah, when I look back at all these things now and then all this modern junk where everything is being disturbed, seem like that's what's killing off everything.
Where did you get all your supplies, like your nets and lines and all that?
Don't they were brought in the spring of the year, you made your orders out. Well, they always brought a supply of that stuff in, and I used to hang nets for them.
For the traps?
No, gill nets for people, if they wanted one hung, people that didn't know how to hang them, so they had a place where you hang nets. So I was 14 when I first started hanging nets. That was fun.
Was it? You went down the carrying that net.
They had a warehouse where you hang nets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. People would put in the orders in with the company. And they'd hire several people to do that. And I started hanging nets and mending nets when I was 9 years old because Papa showed me how. So they'd call me. I'd go. A lot of fun.
Were the nets like we fish 75 pounds or whatever? Was
yeah.
it the same
uh-huh.
net?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to put out 100, but 75 seemed like it was always an average piece of equipment. Some people used 100.
But was that a law that you had to fish a certain amount of gear?
I can't remember if there was anything to the amount of gear you could fish. Because we only had that one net all the time out there, 100 fathom net is what we had.
And you just had one sight?
Just one sight there. And of course that was enough to take care of.
If you had a lot more fish,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Then, see, there was another thing, and then we could say at the same time, if there was a lot of fish, we had a winch and everything on the beach down there. And then put the seine out, hold it there for a while when you think there's enough fish, and then pull it in by winch. So we had to gill net out and also seining.
Mm-hmm.
There was no law about two mobile gears out at once, you know. So that was a lot of fun. A lot of work, but it's fun to us kids.
Yeah. Oh God, it's exciting. The nets are linen, so are they? That's real heavy to me. That would be real. Were they heavy?
Well, no, not really. But you had to do a lot of mending after, you know, they were a couple, 2-3 years old, and then you had to keep mending.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to take care of them. They had this blue stone that you took and wash them in blue stone. Every couple weeks, you had the big vats they had and put them in blue stone to clean all the slime and whatnot off of them.
So that was like a detergent or something? And
yeah.
It dissolved all that
stuff? Yeah, that's bad. They quit using it.
Oh, because it's probably toxic?
Yeah, okay. It's very toxic. And then they tan them with the tanning bark. Big boiling water and they can dip your nets in that.
For the color?
Yeah, the brown. They were all brown.
Huh.
Yeah, real, real dark brown. So, a lot of fun.
Yeah. in Weston, it just sounds like a lot of work to me.
You know, in a sense, I look at it, it was, maybe, but we were used to work, you know. It was something had to be done. Mm-hmm. You do it and get it over with. Picking kelp was what I didn't like. Put them up on the beach and a rack would be all full, the whole netted kelp.
Did you change nets then? Like
yeah.
When they got full, like
yeah,
sometimes
you had to,
down
you
take
had
them
to
out.
Pick it up and put another one out.
So you had extra nets?
Oh yeah, always had extra nets. The same thing if a sea lion went through it. Like they're protecting them poor little sea lion nowadays. Don't they realize how many thousand fish them things are eating? Sea lions and the sea otter, the bears, poor bears.
You said there was a lot more bears now than me.
Oh, my goodness, there were no bears to speak of. No bears to speak of. Everybody ate them, like they do deer nowadays.
They ate bear?
Oh, you bet.
Huh, I didn't
know that. Oh, yes, they took them cubs and all. Yeah, they'd have a nice big bear roast on the beach when they got a couple, two, three cubs over the fire like they do a luau with a pig. Same thing.
Were they tasty?
Oh, you bet they're like pork when they're small.
And then you stopped doing that because that became illegal, or what?
Yeah, they wouldn't let the people shoot them anymore. Because there were no bear around. But look at it now. They got to start doing something with them.
Yeah.
We just had eight of them here last week, right by the house.
Eight of them all at one time?
Eight.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 in the morning were five of them. 7:30, there were three more.
I know just the other day around the house, you know, down at my house there, well, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, right before I left, there was about four of them there, or four of them there all the time.
Yeah. No, and they're not bashful. They'll break in anywhere they want to. So. Yeah, times has changed.
Did the cannery, like, did they brought the gear up and paid for it, and did they bring up groceries for you too?
No, we bought them from the store. They brought a lot. They had a big store.
Was it the same way it is now that you just, they just, at the end of the year you settled your account?
Uh-huh, you know? You paid for it at the end of the season. In them days everything was in bulk. Butter came in Brian, and the salt beef and salt pork. And everything, pickles and you name it, come in the big barrels. Yeah. Now look at that.
No store.
Now no store.
I know. There's no store in Port Lyons either.
No?
They pulled out of Port Lyons too. So you fish with your dad, your family.
Oh no.
And then when did you start fishing on your own?
On my own. See, we got married in 1937. Went on our own.
And you fished the same spot? Or?
That same spot there in Apointee.
Uh-huh. That's what you guys started. Did your husband fish before he got here? How did he get
Bill,
here?
He
Bill,
was,
yeah, how did
yeah,
Bill
was,
get here?
He was a native, born in Red River. His mother and father were gold miners. Yeah, he went to school in Iqaluit, in Anchorage. Yeah, he was native. Let's see, what was he doing? Yeah, he fished on some of the boats, I guess, before that. When they first started in first sailing, there were a few of them. Well, they called it Siwash fishing at that time, not first sailing, it was Siwash.
Mm-hmm.
1935 is when we got married. And then in 37 is when we started. Before that, he worked for the fish and game up the river, counting fish.
At the weir in Carlisle?
At the weir up here in the river they had. The weir up there.
What river? Carlisle River?
Right, Carlisle River, yeah. Yeah, that weir, they had that weir down at the mouth of the up the head of the lagoon in Carlisle. Then they moved it up here in the portage. Then they had it up there below the lake. So they've been moving that weir around. Yeah. So that's the way it goes.
When you were, you know, fishing then, what, did you get up early or did you use the tides or did you do it sort of like we do now?
Well, it was like we took turns. Papa would be up, he was an early bird. Okay. He'd be out there picking fish and picking kale. Mm-hmm. When Papa came ashore about 4 or 5 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock, however long it took, then he'd wake me up. Then
in
it
the
was
morning.
My turn, in the morning, then it was my turn to go out. So we took turns like that.
So just one person would go out at a time?
Yeah, well, me and my brother, for instance. Mm-hmm. And Papa would be alone out there. Yeah, that was fun. Fun. And?
And? Feeding the children in the basket. I don't know, I just like to hear about stories. I know you've told me stories before, you know, about fishing. Just any, like, remember you said one day when you had so much fish?
Well, when we had 10,000 fish?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember the year. I was trying to, we were talking about that the other day, and I can't remember the year it was. And Bill came home in the morning, about 3 o'clock, he used to go out real early.
Mm-hmm.
And come back, and I was wondering how come, I said, did the net bust again? And we had them blend the nets then. Did the net bust again? And he says, no. But he says, we better get the kids ready. We had a tent across there. And get the kids ready and we'll take the kids to the tent and let them go back to sleep again. He says, the net is sunk. I said, what do you mean sunk? He says, it's sunk with fish. Oh, how sick. Well, anyway, we went out there and we picked fish from about 4 o'clock. All day we were picking fish. We picked 10,000 fish out of that net. And part of them was humps and part of them were reds. I think we had 7,000 pinks and the rest was reds.
Mm-hmm. Did everybody have a good hit that day, or was it like that for
everybody, all the way, whoever was fishing down the line.
Mm-hmm.
All their nets were full of fish. And as you were picking them, there was other fish, you know, striking behind you. But to lift up a net that's way down, loaded with fish, from the shore to the hook. And luckily, we only had one net out.
How did you do that? Did you get the skiff under the net then and go down? Parks and
lands? No, just picking it up as you're going along.
Mm-hmm.
And that was heavy. That's really heavy stuff, picking up fish like that. That must have been in the 40s.
Because you guys got married in 1935.
35, yeah. This was somewhere in the 40s. I was trying to think of, was it after the war or was it before the war? Can't quite put them together there.
Mm-hmm. Did they still have the traps in, or was it all independent fishing? But then
no, they still had a few traps. I think it was in the 50s when the traps went out.
Mm-hmm.
What year was it statehood became?
Wasn't it
59?
Yes,
oh,
no. When did Alaska become a state?
52?
Yeah, it wasn't as late as I just said. recall.
I can't even remember what year it is.
You better go back and find out, because this is the last history class. I better know what...
Yes. What year it became state.
I'm going to have to beat that out of the tape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
I can't remember either. I know it's in the 50s. So it was before it became statehood, because the traps were still in when we had all that fish.
And then the traps came out when the last became state?
Became state, yeah. After it became state, that's when they start taking the traps out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, there's times when the traps were so loaded with fish, the cannery was going 24 hours a day. 200,000-300,000 fish at the dock. Get that now. They had no refrigeration. And there's those scows loaded with fish.
How long did they sit?
Sometimes day and a half. Yeah. That's why I can't understand. Now everything's got to be frozen, refrigerated.
Well, I remember even when I started fishing, nobody had refrigeration.
No.
We used to, we didn't poke the fish.
No, but you picked them by hand.
We picked them and they sat for.
Yeah.
I remember one time, it wasn't 2 days, but it was a day and a half, and those humpies were rotten.
They were soft, the rib bones sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I worked in a cannery too, they were terrible. But nowadays, they wouldn't even take them.
Mm-mm.
And there was nothing wrong with them. They passed. Yeah, so many things has changed, I tell you. It's hard to even believe. Yeah, then they got to where we couldn't use the pew no more. Well, first was you should not pew the fish. And I never liked that anyway, pewing live fish on the body, because it makes a big blood stain, you know. Blood clot inside. And then they said, well, only place you could pew your fish would be on the head. And so people were, I never did like that anyway, using that stick on a fish. Unless they were dead. Well, after they're dead, then they won't have that blood, big blood clot in them. And then after, you couldn't even use that, you had to throw them by hand. And don't pick up your fish when it's alive by the tail. I guess you've gone through that too.
Mm-hmm. Were they talking about that then, even in the 30s and the 40s?
No. This is lately.
Mm-hmm.
Started in the 60s, that was in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they started on this. Don't use the stick on them. And don't pick your fish up by the tail. When when you're throwing them.
I know, because they say that breaks the
breaks
back.
Breaks the back.
And boom. Lets blood into the flesh.
But that's what we did all the time.
Well, sometimes you can't grab those little suckers any other way.
Uh-huh, but by the tail.
I know, there's lots of times you can't.
I know.
Especially if you got a bigger fish.
That's right, and you have to grab it by the tail. You can't get your hand around the head. Just like I'm telling you, hey kid, with the rag, wet rag, and clean up that mess of yours. How many times?
Remember that time last year when Spencer's net got sucked by those birds? Did that ever happen before?
Yes, lady, that's another. I'm glad you remind me of some things that is not in my mind with these kids now. We had 3,500 to the number in our net.
Those
goonie birds.
Same thing, they dove down and then came up under your net?
They just dove right into the net. Because that krill was out there. Eddie's, mine, Nick Lichtonen. And I don't remember who down the line had
where Nick fish, where Judy's fishing now?
Yeah. In that area. And I tell you, Damn things were biting and scratching and what have you. 2 days we were picking people that come by, stop and help you take them out. And we were counting them. 3,500 to the number. You get him a shirt here. Yeah, that was a lot of birds. And they rolled the lead line to the cork line.
Okay.
We were lucky last summer. We didn't get any of them.
I know. Spencer's the only one that got
hit. Yeah. They dove right down onto his
head. Hey, looking! Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you start using outboards? Do you remember?
Was in the 40s when we first started getting buying outboards. There were them 9 and 8 tenth.
Where's that tag?
Outboards.
Was it Emerald or Johnson?
Where's my foot on? I'm looking for
Johnson. The tag. I guess they were both Emerald and Johnson. And I can't remember which one. We had a Johnson, I think, was the first one we had. Yeah, it was way in the 40s when we started using outboards.
Were they reliable when you first
started? Oh yeah, they were really good little pickers. Yeah, you wrap the rope around and then pull them.
Uh-huh. And pretty simple compared to what they are.
Yeah,
now.
Just a spark plug and a carburetor. Nothing else to bother with. If you start missing, or if your gas was dirty, you cleaned it out, and there she goes again. Not like these things nowadays. You have to be a mechanic or something to work on them.
Well, you have to be a muscle man to lift them.
And that's another thing, yes.
Yeah. They're so heavy, I hate that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have anything outside of 30 horse or 35. No way. They're too heavy.
When you first started fishing, take you back to what you were talking about. Now, you were born in Yuzinki, and then your family moved
here. I was born in Yuzinki, but Papa was up on the island. He had that fox farm out there. And then, of course, he went to Yuzinki, I guess, and that's where in them days, there was a lady that would be ready to get married, why did they took him? And I think she was 16 years old when Papa asked my grandparents, if he come in, if he could have her. So,
hello.
Hello. So that's how.
Hello, Jane. I brought you some stuff.
What good stuff? Oh.
Green peppers, yellow pepper, some broccoli.
So she was 16.
She was 16 when Papa was what? I was born when he was 55.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have been any questions.
Look at take off.
50 something when they got married, I guess, when he was 50 years old when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did he know that she was there in Yuzinki, if he was here?
Well, in them days they went around, these fishermen, you know. And they were beach sailors, him and old man Juan Sheely. They all came up, they were stowaways on ships, you know. And then Papa, he had the fox farm, he got leased that island up there, and he had a big fox farm up there. Both silvers and blue foxes.
Uh-huh.
Then they had those little power boats, you know, and then they went to Kodiak for groceries. And selling the dry fish and whatnot to the other farmers. So stop in Yuzinki, and there was another fox farmer there in Dry Island. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, they'd stop over there. It's the Dry Island below Port Bailey. And that's how he met Mama when they stopped in Yuzinki. And they got married. Took her up to the island, and that's where she, then when she got pregnant, then she went back to Yuzinki to have me, and well, all the kids were born in Yuzinki. Two brothers and a sister. That's how it goes.
And then he fished first just to get food for the foxes.
Yeah, fox farmers. That's where they sold all the dried fish. And then, of course, furs, too. There's big money in furs in them days.
Yeah. Who would he sell them to? Would he send them down south?
No. Hmm? In Alaska, Brown and Hawkins and Seward was the biggest buyer. And then he'd, sell it to different fox farms. Yeah, they had a mail boat in them days, they load them onto the mail boat, and the mail boat took them to Seward.
Mm-hmm. And you tanned them and everything, or what? No?
Dried fish. Yeah, we had big racks, thousands of fish at a time.
Okay, the fish, what about the foxes, and how would you sell the foxes?
Poor buyers buy them. Traders would come around.
They'd come around to the island.
Oh, all around, go to car, look everywhere. That's how they made their big money.
So you really had two businesses, the fish?
The fish and the furs. Yeah. Well, the pelts were selling as high as $200 a pelt.
Back then,
and that was big money. That's a big money in them days, fishing, and furs. So there were a lot of fox farmers.
Uh-huh. How long did you do that for? When did your dad do that for?
Red poop! Mama!
Huh?
Red poop!
Yeah, go clean it. Up into the...
Not the date, Grandma.
See, 1928, we started. Fishing. Grandma, it must have been about
Grandma, not that big.
About 27, Grandma, I guess, when he Grandma, stopped drying fish.
Grandma, not that big. Uh-huh. Not that big.
You want it? Yeah, it was about 26, 27 when he quit drying fish.
And that's when he quit fox farming, too?
The fox, well, we still had foxes, just a few of them then. And that's when the price of the furs were going down, so the fox farmers were stopping. Amok Island, that was another big fox farm there. Pete Petrosky, he had his foxes in the corrals. And Harry Carlson at Carlson Point, he had foxes in the corrals. There were lots of fox farmers. Harvester Island, where it lose. And Silver's also in the corrals.
Now, what did you have on Elf Island? What did your dad have?
He had silvers and blues also. Mm-hmm. Blues on the loose and the silvers in the corral.
$200? What did they do with all their money?
Well, I guess they banked them. Them days they still had banked. I think they stored it when he was banking his money.
I got it for shit.
And then they had to go around from one place to a fox farm buying to mix their breed up, so they wouldn't have the same strain all the time. So I guess they made a good thing out of it. I don't know. They made big money anyway. Yeah. That's how come he bought nets and whatnot, and then after he quit. Anchors and nets, skips, what have
you. And that all came about in Seattle or San Francisco on the boats, no?
No. You said they were building skips. But the gear, came out from the nets and the anchors and what have you.
Was it Opheim that was building them in Yuzinki, or was there some?
No, there was Nelson's in Aquagnac, and I can't remember who in Yuzinki. There was a lot of boat builders in them days. A lot of them making skips, selling them. My grandpa was one of them. He was also selling skips.
Is this your mom's dad?
Yeah.
What was her maiden name?
Shusharenkin. Something to twist your tongue. Shusharenkin, Olga, and Nick Shusharenkin. Olga was my grandma's name. Uh-huh. And,
do they still have family there? Is there anybody left from your mom's family?
Well, most of them are in your in Kodiak. Paris Muller, she's in that. She's in the wheelchair in that.
Mama, the morning moon.
Intensive care or whatever in Kodiak.
Mama,
that's my cousin. Mama,
the morning moon.
Go ahead. Well, anyway, there isn't too many of them. I can't remember who's in your thinking of Pete Squirtsoff. And Donnie Muller, that's a bunch, that's Ferris Muller's kids, that's in Yusinki.
No! That is mine!
And the squirts off.
That's mine!
I don't know, I can't remember who else, I can't remember them anymore anyway. They had 16 kids, so...
Well, there's bound to be a few running around.
Almost all of Yuzinki was, we were related. One way or another, and quite a few in Kodiak. So, what else? Some days I can think of a lot of things and how that goes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot. Wait, where am I going?
And people stopped. They knew that they had to reproduce, you know, that ducks is going to go lay eggs and whatever, you know, all the animals are going to go mating. So nobody bothered. No more hunting. And that was really good.
There weren't the laws. People just sort of regulated themselves.
Themselves, yeah. Same thing come fall then.